Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in the house, Jared Cassidy. We are live from our game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. We have got so many topics to cover today, and you can weigh in on our text line, on our phone line. Engage with us today. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also, you can watch our beautiful faces streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video stream is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And listen, if you are watching the stream right now, you will notice that one of the hosts of this show has a new hairdo, kind of.
Hairdo?
Well,
I didn't get it. I didn't get a haircut.
Well, I was trying to like figure out a creative way to say it. Junie's got rock in the stash right now. He shaved the beard so you can see Junie's stash. And Jared and I think he looks like UC Sorrow. So look at the stream and weigh in on our text line if you think he does. Junie, model it for him. Model the new stash.
It's like a mix of Sam Elliott and UC Soros, so that's two pretty good people right there.
Hey, I'll take that. It was actually an accident. I was trying to shave up the loose hairs up top, kind of trim the bottom. Made a mistake. You know, it was early in the morning. I always wake up early on show day. So, I accidentally shaved a little too much, and I was like, you know what?
You're rocking it.
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. Every man out there that grows facial hair, you need to try stash at least once. This is my first time, so we'll see how it goes.
There you go. We love it. We love it. Jared, how are we doing this morning?
Fantastic.
Am I going to get a go, Cats?
Yeah, I mean, I told you in a group text message, but I did call that game, though. I said that it was a trap game for the Vols because of the big wins and the big losses for Kentucky.
Now, Jared, do you think Michelle has the right to come on here and brag after she was so down on her own team and even went to the point where she was considering firing the coach?
I did go there.
Is this allowed to do a 180 like this on the show?
Come on, you've been there with Vols football at some point, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can only imagine. But, yeah, it is a little wishy-washy or flip-floppy or sitting on a fence kind of thing. But, I mean, honestly, though, like, they were the better team. There were some bad calls on both sides in that game, though. And shooting wasn't good. But, I mean, like, there's just so many things. But,
well, Kentucky did what they do best. And I think the one thing that they're probably one of the top teams in the nation at doing is getting offensive rebounds and getting second chances at scoring. So, you know, they got some big players down low, especially that guy, Oscar Tshiebwe, who played, you know, like the National Player of the Year. That's what happens, Vols, when you don't capitalize.
It'll be interesting to see. Both teams bounce back this week. The Vols got a win in Starkville. Actually, we saw Jeffrey Simmons was sitting front row for that game, so that's always fun. Jeffrey Simmons also attended the Memphis Grizzlies game recently. Memphis Grizzlies were on an 11-game win streak, but something happened last night after their loss in L.A. to the Lakers. That'll be our first headline for the Morning Brew today. Hit it, Jared.
Taking you around the sports world for the biggest headlines. This is the Morning Brew, presented by Nashville Jam Company on Michelle and Junie.
You heard it. It is the Morning Brew. Grab your coffee because Junie, Jared, and I are going to review all of the big topics happening in the sports world right now. One of the biggest stories that came out last night, this morning, was Shannon Sharpe at the Memphis Grizzlies LA Lakers game last night getting in a pretty big altercation that ended up going viral on social media. There are a bunch of videos of it that kind of created, you know, a scuffle mid-court. Shannon Sharpe was sitting courtside and started to talk a little trash, right? Memphis's win streak got broken by the Lakers. And then a bunch of people started to get involved in this, chirping back at each other. Steven Adams, one of the Memphis Grizzlies players. Ja Morant's father, T. Morant.
It all started with Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks and Shannon Sharpe were having words. And then Shannon Sharpe then stood up and started saying stuff like, come over here. And then that's when, you know, guys like, you know, John Morant's father, T. Morant, mm-hmm. Steven Adams, And all those guys started to go over there, referees, all that stuff. We're having to break this up. And it's all because Shannon Sharpe, the biggest LeBron James lover, wanted to go in and rub his mouth. And I guess he did what he wanted to do. I think he wanted to get the Grizzlies, who are the hottest team in the NBA, number one in the West, off their game when they're coming in and playing the Lakers, a team that's mm-hmm. been struggling all season long, trying to get their footing.
Yeah, they're not good.
And you know what? Dennis Schroeder came up in the clutch last night, and the Lakers got the win. But so I guess Shannon got what he wanted to do, what he intended to do, I should say. But he looked like a fool doing that.
Well, so I'm just looking at a couple articles here. This one's by Sports Skeeta on the whole situation. And Dylan Brooks said it started because he said, "I was too small to guard LeBron James. And then he said, insert swear words here, back, then started to come at me. And both of them, that's kind of how the altercation started. It obviously created a scuffle on the court. Just come on. I get, you know, Shannon Sharpe, that they're, you know, him and Skip Bayless, that is their, you know, fighting mantra on air as far as, you know, hot takes and, you know, yelling back and forth at each other. But that is just completely unnecessary. Don't go at one of the players when you're sitting courtside. You know, they won. You are a media member. I just thought it was very, very unprofessional, uncalled for, and it's just a really bad look.
I feel like both of them here recently have taken the drama to a whole new level.
Real life, I agree.
And I think that it's almost like these two are in professional wrestling, and they're both trying to fight over who can be the biggest heel. And I think last night Shannon Sharpe took it from, okay, yeah, Skip looked pretty bad on social media with the whole DeMar Hamlin thing.
Correct.
I think he got maybe a little bit too much flack for it because, you know, in the end of that tweet, he did say, you know, that is what means the most. But, again, it did come off super insensitive in the moment. Mm-hmm. But Shannon Sharpe, as a professional athlete, a guy that's won at the highest level at his own sport, to go to a different sport and then chirp players on the field when you're a highly respected like member of the media, it just looks completely unprofessional. It looks faked. It looks like you tried to do that for clout. And I don't know. I was never the biggest Shannon Sharpe guy before this. I'm definitely not a Shannon Sharpe guy after this. He looked childish. That's all I got to say.
It just makes it about him is all he's doing mm-hmm. right now, and that's just like a really bad look, especially when you, like you said, that show is under a lot of scrutiny right now, like people watching with eyes on it right now. I mean, plain and simple, it's a bad look. Like you said, jumping sports, like I could see if it's a little bit more understandable on a football field because, like,
you're so far away.
You've proved it, yes. But, like, at the same time, like, you're on a basketball court, man. Like, you're watching a game. You're paying like everybody else. You should sit there. I mean, we talked about Spike Lee and all that during the Knicks games. Except for the Reggie Miller, he keeps it pretty cool over there. He'll chat with you. He'll talk to you, but, you know, he's harmless. He's not going to do anything. And Shannon Sharpe looked like he could have charged the court.
Well, and that is the biggest issue I have with it too, right? You know, when you're sitting courtside in an NBA game, it's not like, you know, at NFL games, nobody's on the field during the game other than if you're working, if you're part of the staff. You can have field access before the game as a fan if you're a VIP member. But, you know, you're so close to these players. I just thought it was really, really unprofessional. I thought, you know, I agree with you. That show is kind of taking it to another level, and it just got out of hand last night. All the videos are over Twitter. But moving on, the Nashville Predators fall in St. Louis 5-2. Really tough loss. You could see the frustration from John Hines after the game in his press conference. It was about 30 seconds long. They're back in action today. Try to snap back in action, get another win. It's halfway through the season right now, and they've just shown a lot of inconsistencies. They'll have a couple good games, then they'll take a step back, and then they'll have another couple good games. One of the bright lights are the young guys on the team, such as Cody Glass, UC Parsons, Tommy Novak. So, I mean, we'll see if they can get the win tonight, but we're more than halfway through the season right now. The All-Star break is about to come, and this team's still fighting for a playoff spot, so just pretty disappointing.
It was one game that you couldn't lose. You were 1 point ahead of the St. Louis Blues. You were sitting there a point or two back from the playoffs, And you really needed to get this win. You had to stay ahead of the Blues, and this would have created a nice little gap between the two of you. And for me personally, I think the Nashville Predators are a better team than the St. Louis Blues this year. You know, the St. Louis Blues are one of those teams, their goaltending hasn't been that great. They've been a really offensive productive team, but not necessarily a defensive one. And I thought with the Preds kind of, you know, showing up here in the last couple games, they were coming off a couple game win streak, that they would take advantage of this Blues team that's been kind of trending downward this season, and they flat out didn't. I mean, they let up 5 goals. I would say, you know, some of those could have been on Saros, but I would say mostly it's because of the lackadaisical attention to details on defense and allowing all these lanes to pass the puck across the crease, and it's just putting the goalie in a bad situation. The Preds really, really need to clean
it up. Well, and I think you pointed out something that I was just about to say is, you know, they're putting UC Saros in a bad situation because when he is not performing at just an elite, absurd level, top of, you know, a Vezina-level goalie, they seem to lose these games because, you know, what was it? Against the Hurricanes a couple weeks ago, he had 64 saves. I mean, that is absurd. Yeah, that's amazing on UC's part, but also the defense shouldn't be putting him in that type of situation. Okay, moving on. The biggest story of the week of yesterday, Rand Carthon, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans, spoke to the media. We'll give our thoughts really quick here, but we're going to get really into that. We're going to get into some of Mike Vrabel's comments, some people who've worked with Rand over the years, such as Jeff Fisher, former Tennessee Titans coach. But Junie, what was just, you know, your first initial thought when you listened to his press conference and just, I guess, all of the, you know, people speaking out on his behalf that we've heard on our stations through the last couple of weeks, or well, just week, I guess.
Rand Carthon seems like a really, really likable, down-to-earth human being, but also somebody who seems like he's going to come in and set a tone for this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming from a 49ers organization. They're one of the NFL blue bloods. He has been a part of that big turnaround in San Francisco ever since he's been there since 2017. All they've done is stack up talent and been contenders in the NFC. And he's been a part of that with Kyle Shanahan, who I believe is probably the number one offensive mind in the NFL, and also John Lynch over there in San Fran as well, who's been one of the better GMs since he's been in town as well. So very impressive by him. I think he's really likable, and I think he's going to be one of Nashville's more popular sports figures in the years to come.
Junie, I completely agree. Sitting there yesterday, there were a couple different things that Rand did that made my ears perk up and think, this guy seems like a really genuine, good guy. But there was one thing specifically in his press conference. We will get to that on the other side. If you want to weigh in on the Titans' new general manager, Rand Carthon, text, call us, tweet at us, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How will Rand Carthon change this Tennessee Titans organization and try to win a Super Bowl?
You play running back. Your dad was one of the best running back coaches and offensive coordinator. Do you think a team can win a Super Bowl in today's NFL built around a running back?
Yeah. I mean, I joke and I say, you know, it's cute to play, you know, Golden State Warriors football on, you know, October, September. But when those conditions change and you can't throw the ball up and down the yard, you better be able to run it and you better be able to defend it. And I think if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs that are still playing at this stage, everybody's able to run the ball. So I think, you know, that you can win championships that way.
That was Titans new general manager Rand Carthon on if you can win a Super Bowl with a strong run game. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy with us today. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Very cold out there today. But I thought that was really interesting, that quote from Rand Carthon. You know, one of the biggest questions right now is, who will be the offensive coordinator, who will be the new hire at offensive coordinator for this Tennessee Titans team. Right now, there are 10 other organizations in the NFL looking for an offensive coordinator. And actually, that was Jared who asked Rand Carthon, you know, do you have the mentality that you can win the Super Bowl with a run game and being great around your quarterback, and you don't have to have, you know, this elite passing game? And I thought his answer was really interesting. And at one point he said, you know, playing Golden State Warriors football is great in September and October and letting the ball just fly all over the field. But you get into those cold conditions, you know, you better be able to run the ball. You better be able to defend the ball. And that is Mike Vrabel's mentality to a T on how he views this, on how he views this team. And when he answered that question, I just thought, you know, these guys really are on the same page, because, you know, it's easy for us to look from the outside looking in. And they said the first time they met each other was Tuesday, but it all comes back to, you know, where they came from and where they started their football journeys and how a lot of that all goes back, Junie, to the New England Patriots.
Well, and that's one of the quotes that he had. He said, you know, we come from the same grassroots. And the one thing that the New England Patriots did so well is, number one, they had Tom Brady. And Brady was always one, well, how much can I get paid and also have a really good roster around me? And Brady's the one superstar quarterback that has consistently done that, and that's why he wins, is because he's a team-first guy. And when we look at guys like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and a lot of these, you know, Kyler Murray this year. You know, these guys that got big paydays didn't make the playoffs this year because their roster is really depleted around them. So that was one. But the one thing Brady always had was they had, you know, a horse stall full of a bunch of running backs that they would use. And that's kind of what San Francisco's done. You know, they went out and traded for Christian McCaffrey. And then in his press conference, how they, as a cohesive unit, they collaborated. The big word of the day yesterday, they collaborated and got a guy like Elijah Mitchell in the late round that, you know, it was really all hands on deck. And he turned out to be a really key player for them. I mean, I can see that with this Titans organization. They want to be a run-first team and have the pass come a little bit later, and that's what wins. You know, when it gets cold and you're taking hits in the cold, it sucks. It hurts.
It's really
painful. Some things that you take in September and October that you wouldn't even think twice about, you're thinking about in December and January.
I mean, think about when you're even just walking. Listen, I'm not on a football field, but even when I'm walking in the cold, your muscles are that much more tensed up. You feel achy, right? So imagine, you know, running like a Derrick Henry and having an entire team tackle you and how that feels so much worse in the cold. But that is the way you win football games when the weather conditions are like that. Junie, another thing that, you know, Rand Carthon was pretty pressed on from the media was just who's going to have final say. And that's been the big question on, okay, who's going to have final say over the roster? And, you know, Joe Rexroad brought up a really good point when he was on Chase and Michelle with us yesterday. And he said, you know, we all knew that John Robinson was Mike Vrabel's boss because he was here first, and, you know, and then he went out and was like, I want to go get Mike Vrabel. I want to hire him as my head coach. So it was, you know, J-Rob, Vrabel, and then, of course, Miss Amy at the top. And it was clear when some of those moves were made, specifically the A.J. Brown move and Mike Vrabel a couple weeks prior saying, you know, as long as I'm the head coach, and just knowing how much A.J. Brown meant to this organization and the quality player that he is. But this situation is a little bit different because, you know, Mike Vrabel was the one who was staying, right, when John Robinson got fired. And then, you know, Amy, and then Mike is in the hiring process, you know, trying to figure out, like, who will be the best fit for me? Who can I collaborate with the best? Like you said, that's been the huge word. It was used by, I think, Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and Miss Amy multiple times yesterday. And, you know, I thought it was interesting when Rand was up there and he was getting pressed with those questions. And he said, I mean, the main takeaway is, like, I want to win. I want to figure out a way with Mike Vrabel to give him the best players because I believe in him as a coach. And I know that he can say all of this, and we're in the honeymoon phase right now. Yeah. But just some of the things that he did yesterday and the way he calmly answered the questions. But I do think he actually gave us some information. I thought, you know, we were going to get there and it was going to be a lot of answer but no answer. But I actually thought, you know, he opened the curtain and he told that Elijah Mitchell story. And he composed himself just so eloquently. And when he said, you know what, like, I don't want to have final say. And Mike having final say, like, that creates tension, and that is where you see egos in this business. And look at the two that he's been under, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, for so long. And it's never, you know, who has final say? Is it Kyle or is it John? Because they know that, you know, if one person's like, well, at the end of the day, I have final say, so I'm just going to disregard you. That's not how it works.
In touching base on that story that he did tell of Elijah Mitchell, I think the process of that kind of shows the culture that he wants to bring to this Titans organization. He talked about how he had an analytics guy that said, you know, hey, I think this running back is the best outside zone runner in this draft. And he's like, can you check out the film and see what you think? Because, you know, Rand Carthon played running back. He could kind of give this analytics guy, who probably isn't, you know, the biggest football personnel, trying to look and evaluate this guy. And then when Rand saw, he's like, you know what, this guy's good. So, and then when they started playing this dude's highlights and some of his film in the draft room, the pick that they were going to use on a linebacker, the linebacker coach came over and said, you know what, I don't want to use this on the linebacker. I'm with you guys. I see what you're saying about this kid, and I think this kid would be a great late-round draft pick for us and could make an immediate impact. And it just kind of goes to show you when one guy speaks up and then brings it to another, another guy kind of is like, you know what, I kind of see what you're saying. And then even the coach, the linebacker's coach, that wanted to draft a guy for his room to improve his room, make it better, was like, you know what, I agree with you guys. I see what you're saying, and I can back off my players and my position of expertise in order to do what's best for the team. And you see how that's working for San Francisco. I don't think that there's immediately going to be one guy in charge. Just because, you know, Vrabel's been here, the Titans are kind of coming off a bad season, losing 7 games in a row. Vrabel and I feel like Rand need to be on the same page and kind of work together. Mm-hmm. And not have that one guy that you go to in order to kind of create that culture to where everybody is working together and all hands are on deck to try and get to that goal to win a Super Bowl for this franchise.
Well, and it could have been really easy for Rand in that situation to be like, oh, like, he's an analytics guy, you know, like, he what does he know he sees or something, right? But like, he took the time to be like, oh yeah, let me take a look at this guy. And then he was like, no, like, you're right. And that is how you create a roster that is like that San Francisco 49ers that has depth from 2017 to now. That team has been able to, you know, create depth on this roster and get guys in the later rounds who've been able to make a significant impact on this roster. And Vrabel mentioned it yesterday too. He's like, everybody knows who are going to be the top 100 guys. Everybody knows who's going to look first, second round. You know, he's like, what I get excited about and what Rand Carthon specifically worked on with the 49ers was really trying to win in those fourth, those fifth, those sixth rounds and be able to get guys that can actually be significant role players on this team. And that's how you create depth. And that was one of the, you know, in addition to the injuries, something that hurt the Titans this year is that they didn't have depth at specific positions, and that goes back to drafting. So, you know, I think that's another thing that I'm going to be looking out for too. You know, Rand's coming in. He said that he's going to use, you know, the scouting staff that they have. I'm sure he'll bring in some of his own guys as well. But right now we're going to go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got Jason from Murfreesboro. Jason, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Thanks.
Okay, first I want to start off with, you know, I've been a Niners fan since I was 8 years old. So my Titans fandom came, you know, since they moved to Nashville. So I got an NFC team and an AFC team.
Love it.
And I'm kind of glad, you know, that they got Carthon for the Titans. But my question is, I get flustered with the whole, why are you trying to switch teams? And I know you're trying to grow as a person and you want to be, you know, you want to, like, DeMarco Ryan, he wants to go, you know, be a head coach. But why do you do that while you're in a playoff situation, possibly Super Bowl. Why don't you focus on that first before you go jump into something else? Like, I would appreciate that more as another team that you were trying to make sure that team got successful before you left and went to another team as a head coach.
Thanks for the call, Jason. We will discuss. I have a couple thoughts on that. We will discuss on the other side and go a little bit deeper into Rand Carthon and how he views Derrick Henry on this roster. All on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Jeff Fisher is with us. What is it exactly about Rand's personality and how he conducts himself professionally that makes you feel so confident that this Vrabel and Rand Carthon dynamic will be so strong?
He's really smart. He communicates with everybody in the building and with ease, and he makes people feel comfortable. And, he's going to get the most out of people. And that's just the way he is. And, you know, he understands his lane, from the standpoint of, when he was with us and, with the Rams, he wasn't making the final call. But, when, for example, posed the question, hey, Rand, if this was your pick, which one would you choose? Would you choose the guard from Stanford or would you choose the running back from Georgia?
What about the wide receiver from Michigan State?
That
Mason
well.
Guy.
Yeah. Yes. You have to find out. Derek, you got to ask. You might have, I don't want to make you feel old, Dee, but you need to ask him. You need to ask him if he had his report on you. So what kind of grade he gave you.
Okay.
But, go ahead and do that. And he'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you I didn't do you.
That was Jeff Fisher, former Tennessee Titans head coach on Caroline Willie in D-May, speaking on Rand Carthon and why he thinks he's going to be a great addition to this Tennessee Titans franchise. Him and Rand actually worked together when he was in St. Louis early in Rand's career. So Rand Carthon's career went from the Atlanta Falcons to the St. Louis Rams, then to the 49ers in 2017. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical studios on this Saturday morning. If you want to weigh in on the Titans' new GM, Rand Carthon, we're taking your phone calls. We're taking your text, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. One of the biggest questions with a new general manager coming into any franchise, and I want to get to what our caller said, before the break, and said, he grew up a 49ers fan, and once the Titans moved here, he became a Titans fan, and he has his NFC and AFC teams, and he said he didn't love how Rand Carthon was taking this job midseason as the 49ers are still trying to make a run to the Super Bowl. And we're seeing this a lot with, it's not just general managers, it's offensive coordinators, it's defensive coordinators, guys looking for head coaching jobs. We see it, what do they call it, Dark Monday or something, when everybody gets fired once your season is over. We see it every offseason as soon as a team has, lost in the playoffs or hasn't made the playoffs. And, what I take from that is there are 32 NFL GM jobs in the world. And, even just listening to his press conference yesterday, he had a really cute line, and his wife was sitting right there, and she got a little emotional when he said it. But he said when they were dating in 2003, she asked him, oh, what do you want to do after your football career? And he was like, I want to be a general manager in the NFL. And she's like, oh, God, I almost broke up with him, thinking of a guy living in La La Land. And it was a really special moment. She started to get a little emotional. And even after, I left that press conference, he's like, my dreams are coming true. Like, this is what I've always wanted. And I think you can't look at it as, he left his team. But when you're hiring a general manager and there's only 32 positions, and a season's a team season is over, like the Tennessee Titans right now, they're looking on to the next already, and they can't start, you know, scouting. They can't start thinking of, you know, the moves they're going to want to make if they don't have a general manager.
Well, think about, you know, Vrabel's end of the year press conference when they came back from that Jacksonville game in week 18. He was talking, he's like, well, you know, we got to worry about general manager on that. You know, we got to worry about general manager. I mean, it's re-signing free agents. You know, Jeffrey Simmons' big contract and what they're going to do with that. You know, some of the cuts that they're going to have to make on this team because they're, you know, $23 million plus over the cap. Mm-hmm. You know, drafting and looking at prospect, which is Rand Carthen's specialty. There's so many things that the Titans want to get a jump start on this season, and they're already behind a bit because they didn't have their GM. This is a quick process. And you're also talking about a guy, Rand Carthen, who's, again, yes, he was part of the 49ers. They are still playing. They're Super Bowl contenders. But he was at the game last week, knowing that he was going to be coming and interviewing for this job, came to Nashville, and he's going back again for their big-time divisional matchup against the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. So he's still going out there and supporting his team. And even so, that's not very common. I mean, we see this in college, too. Mm-hmm. Like, coaches don't play in their bowl games when they're going to a new program. They got to get a jump start on recruiting. They got to, you know, they got to start putting their schemes in, hiring their coaching staffs. There's a lot of things to do, and you can't just simply do that just based off loyalty. You got a new job. You got a new title. You got a promotion. It's time to move on.
Well,
and the fact that he's going there, the fact that he's going there says magnitudes about his about who he is as a person in general. He doesn't have to go back to San Fran, but he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. And I think sometimes, you know, it's easy to look of, oh, well, you know, he's leaving his team as they're in this big run. But, I mean, it's the name of the game. I mean, everybody understands, right? Everybody knows that the opportunity he just got offered. I mean, it's his dream, quite literally his dreams coming true, and not everyone. I mean, yeah,
The Titans weren't in a position to wait any longer either. Like, it was kind of best of both worlds. Like, they kind of got him away from there, and I mean, it is cool that he's going back, but just to have him like here and. I don't know, a lot of enthusiasm around him. I completely agree with it. I'm just glad that they stuck with going outside the organization with this hire because this is a more crucial one, in my opinion, because your GM is supposed to be there. And especially with his recruiting background, it just had, like, nothing but thumbs up for this guy.
I feel like if he would have stuck around when he got hired officially by the Titans, if he stuck around and stuck with the 49ers, I feel like John Lynch would have been like, dude, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing?
I would be. Like, dude, get out there. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to take that.
Exactly. So, you know, I get what the caller's saying. A little bit of emotion in that call, but, you know, he's doing what he's got to do. And now he's got the opportunity that he's been working for the last 20 years. So congratulations to Rand Carthen. We are super excited for you to be here in Nashville.
Well, and he's really going to – I mean, he was telling us about his schedule and how he's been flying back and forth and how, you know, he just kind of got thrown into things. And, you know, once he gets here, he gets offered the job Tuesday. The press conference was Friday, right? Things are starting to move. He's starting to meet with the scouting staff. He's meeting with Vrabel. He said he was going to make some calls after the press conference yesterday to some of the players.
He said he wants to meet with all the players. He wants to know who they are off the field, and he puts that into consideration, you know, when he's constructing the roster, because he doesn't want to know what they are when they're in the building. He wants to know how they are outside of the building, which I find really important too, because one of the common trends you see in players on successful football teams is they have good character. They're not getting in trouble. They're putting in the work outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that Vrabel has mentioned himself, that I feel like Rand is on the same page with the coach as well.
Well, and one guy that Rand Carthen is very excited to meet is Derrick Henry. Here's what he said on Derrick Henry yesterday at his introductory press conference.
So I've been watching Derrick since he was at Yulee, you know, high school, Florida boy. So it's crazy to see how I remember Coach Parcells told me one time, running back is a production-based position. If you didn't get yards in high school and college, you're not getting them on this level. And if you look at Derrick's history, he got yards in high school, he got them in college, and he's got them at this level. And, you know, more than anything, I can't wait to stand next to him to size him up, you know, to see how big he really is in person.
Well, Ran, I can assure you that he is even bigger in person than he looks when he's running on the football field. But I thought that that comment on Derrick Henry was pretty convincing that Derrick Henry would be a part of this team next year. But a comment on another player has me scratching my head, Junie, and makes me think that this organization could be going a different way with Rand Carthon. We will discuss that all on the other side on the Michelle and Junie Show. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. Quickly before we get into Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans, I need to give my little sister Bella a shout-out. She just got accepted to the University or Colorado Boulder. So
Great school.
Very exciting. Exciting time. I wish I was, you know, a senior in high school trying to go to college again. That would be nice. Being an adult is hard sometimes, Junie.
Would you still choose Kentucky?
Oh, yes, I would. BBN.
I don't know. Listen, I loved going to Western Kentucky, but I'll tell you what, that campus out there in Boulder for Colorado is beautiful. So if your sister takes a visit, she might never come back.
Yeah, right. I think I'll be joining on that college visit. I'm coming. But Junie, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, we were discussing Rand Carthon and his comments on Derrick Henry. And, you know, Rand Carthon was a running back. His dad, Maurice Carthon, was one of the best running back coaches, you know, coming up in the league. He was with Bill Parcells, and Rand Carthon was like a little kid, you know, growing up in all the Patriots organization and everything. And he became a running back as well. And when asked about Derrick Henry yesterday, it was a glowing, you know, I've been following Derrick since his high school days and really just watching him thrive as a running back in this league, unlike some other guys, right? We know Derrick is he's the king. He's so unique, and it's so specific to this offense. And one of the biggest questions has been, okay, when Rand comes in, what does he want this team to look like? And another big question, which we still don't know who the offensive coordinator is, and that'll play a role into this too, in the hiring of that, is, you know, what type of offense do you want this team to have? So I thought when he spoke so highly of Derrick Henry like that, and he said, you know, I can't wait to size him up right next to him, in my head, I thought, okay, Derrick's going to be on the team next year. But he also was asked about Ryan Tannehill. And here were his comments on Ryan Tannehill.
What do you think of Ryan Tannehill, and is he your quarterback?
I don't think that's fair. At this point, we're still evaluating the roster. I am, you know, and that's going to take further conversations with me and Mike. Ryan has been great here. He's won a lot of football games, and I look forward to us winning football games. But I still need more time, you know, to evaluate and make those decisions. As you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and people are hired and fired every day over that position. So we want to – I want to spend more time evaluating that position, so I'll have my own opinion, and Mike and I will confer and figure it out.
That was Rand Carthon on Ryan Tannehill and if he would be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. My ears perked up, Junie, when he said that. And I know Jared talked about this on his show on Friday afternoon – and said, to him, it seems like, yeah, Tannehill will be the guy. And it was more, you know, speak of just, I'm not going to make any, you know, decisions here. I'm not going to kind of give you a look into my playbook or whatever. But to me, that sounded like, yeah, we're looking.
Oh, yeah.
And we're looking.
And we've had this conversation for the last couple weeks of what direction do the Titans want to go in? Do you know, and the two big pillars of that conversation have been, do they stick with an aging Derrick Henry? Or do they, you know, stay with Tannehill? Or do they move off both? Like you had just said, from what his comments were and his body language and how he responded to those questions, and Jared asked both of them. He asked both of them because he knew that these two players are going to be indicative.
Kayla Anderson asked the Derrick question.
She asked the Derrick question. I thought Stillman had a question about Derrick. No, he said about building about a running back. Yes. Okay, so, but yeah, the way that he was glowing about Derrick Henry made it seem like there's no way that this team is moving off, especially after him getting, you know, 1,500 yards on the ground, 300-some-odd yards receiving, almost 2,000 total yards on the year with this lackluster offensive line.
And for people who have said, you know, Derek's taken a step back, he also was second in rushing in the NFL. Maybe it didn't look like it sometimes, but he was very productive.
He is also in such a big piece into your offense that you can you can't do anything else without having Derrick Henry the way that you want to run things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the big question is, can they move off Ryan Tannehill this offseason? And I have been a proponent of this. I have been criticized about this for the last couple weeks. I have been saying if I'm the Titans, I am moving off Ryan Tannehill. And if you do it after June 1st, you're saving $27 million.
What's the dead hit on that?
I believe nine.
Yeah, it's just over nine, I think. I think it's like 9.3 is what I saw.
Yes. So $27 million saved post June 1st if they were to cut Ryan Tannehill. And when you're a GM, when you're a new GM coming into this, he said it. People get fired and hired every single day based off the decision at quarterback. And when you're the Tennessee Titans and you have the third worst cap situation in the league, you're over the cap by over $23 million. Ryan Tannehill moving off of this organization and them trying to go in a new direction, like I've been saying for weeks, might be what's on Rand Carthon's mind potentially this offseason to try and go out and get a new signal caller for this franchise.
So, you know, when I heard those comments from Rand Carthon, and Junie, you mentioned after June 1st, if they were to cut him, right, the dead hit would only be $9 million, whereas if they do it before, I think it's closer to 18. I think it's almost double.
It is.
Yes, it is.
18.8 is what it is.
Okay. So you're cutting that in half, essentially, if you wait until after June 1st. The draft this year, April 27th through the 29th, just to put in some dates in your head, just for some perspective here. And then free agency, we just talked about this the other day. That's March... Oh, my gosh. We talked
March
about
15th, I
March
believe.
15th. Okay. So those are some dates just to think about, right? You'll have free agency, then you'll have the draft, and then that June 1st cutoff, like we talked about, and then, you know, the training camp will be here before we know it.
And just because it is a June 1st cut doesn't mean they actually have to wait till June 1st to, like, announce that's the direction they're going in. I mean, there's plenty of players.
Because that's what they did with Julio Jones.
Yes, that's what they did with Julio. And for another example, for a player that the Titans ended up picking up, you know, Austin Hooper with the Browns. He was a post-June 1st cut that they, you know, announced, hey, we're going to let you go. But I technically think that they're not able to sign anywhere till after June 1st until that's, like, absolutely official. But you still get the word out with the direction that you're going and know what kind of money you're going to be dealing with beforehand. So just because, you know, that's the date doesn't mean that's when they're going to make that announcement or go in that direction.
So I did a poll on Twitter early yesterday around 9:30, so almost 24 hours, and I got 523 votes, and I said, who do you want to be the QB of the Titans in 2023? And I'm very surprised by the answers of this poll. Ryan Tannehill, 49.1% want him to be, Tom Brady, 10%, Aaron Rodgers, 20%, and Trey Lance, 19%. So I didn't put any, you know, drafting quarterbacks, or I didn't even, like, highlight that situation. It was more of, okay, do you want to stay with a Ryan Tannehill, or you want to go out and get either a veteran guy, or Trey Lance has also been brought up because of how we're seeing Brock Purdy perform, which we'll get into that in a little bit. And Trey Lance's good luck Insta post like this to Rand Carthon, and everybody freaked out like, oh my gosh, does that mean he's coming? I'm like, okay, let's simmer down.
Pump the brakes.
Fine. Pump the brakes. But I thought those comments by Rand Carthon were really, really interesting, because I could almost bet my arm if he were to step into the Cincinnati Bengals organization, the Chargers, the Chiefs, he would feel very, very confident in saying, Joe Burrow's my guy. Justin Herbert's my guy. Patrick Mahomes is my guy. And I know every GM wants the opportunity to draft a quarterback and have his guy. But I can feel pretty, pretty confident that if he were to walk into one of those situations, he wouldn't have said what he said yesterday about Ryan Tannehill.
And I agree. And my premise of things is, I'm not saying when I say that I think the Titans should move off Ryan Tannehill that they can't win with Ryan Tannehill. I think this team can compete for the South and that they can make the playoffs with Ryan Tannehill. I just think that the value of the freed up cap space, the direction the organization is wanting to go. You have a brand new GM here. You had just said it, and you're absolutely correct. every GM wants to go out and draft their guy. Ryan Tannehill is starting to get into his mid-30s, and we're looking at who he's going to be competing against in the AFC for the next couple years. He's not beating those guys. And more than likely, they're not beating the Jacksonville Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence and how he is developing. Trevor Lawrence hasn't
reached... And they're getting Calvin Ridley next year.
Exactly. So more and more weapons. They're still, you know, they're still trying to move and groove and improve their roster. So it's going to be hard for this team to really try and stay in that Super Bowl window with it. You have a really good defense. Free up the cap space. Try and go out and draft receivers. Free agent O-linemen, draft O-linemen, and really get this team worked around the quarterback position so that when Rand Carthen wants to go out and get his guy, just like the 49ers, that they have a complete roster, and even with a seventh-round Mr. Irrelevant pick, they're still out there on an 11-game win streak and competing for a Super Bowl in the playoffs.
What quarterbacks are available? Will the Titans stay with Ryan Tannehill next year? Let's take a look at the QB market as a whole this offseason. You're listening to the Michelle and Juni Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.